Well, good morning. Shalom to all of you. And it's great to be here. I want to introduce someone that is special to me. You've seen her picture, but you've never seen her live and in 3D. It's my wife, Corey Schwartz. Behind every okay man is a great woman. So husbands or husbands-to-be, take note. Without our wives, we can do absolutely nothing. And without Jesus, we can do nothing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, it was, my wife and I were talking about when the last time I was here. I think it was not last year, but 2020. My wife was watching the farm, and we were moving, and I was out here post-COVID, and we did a Passover Seder, and I preached. And she was back home, and I said, you have to come and see Montana. And so your church was a blessing to us and brought us out and brought my wife out here and was able to show her the mountains, the beautiful scenery of Montana. And to make you feel bad, I checked the weather in New Jersey, and it's 71 degrees. I probably am not making many friends, but 71 degrees, but we love it. We love it here. You want to move? Okay. I don't know if there's any Jewish people. I could ask to see if there's some Jewish horses or something like that. But if you are unfamiliar, if you're new to the church and you haven't are unfamiliar with us, Scott and Corey Schwartz. I'm originally from Philadelphia. My wife is originally from Vermont. So when she's here, a lot of parallels. Vermont is kind of like a mini Montana with skiing and the mountains and hunting. And I got off the plane and they were like checking in like rifles. I'm like, we're not in Manhattan. This is not, this is definitely not New York. So, but thank God for God's country, right? And so we're with Life of Messiah. Life of Messiah is over 130 years old. We have been ministering the gospel with Life of Messiah since 1887, all over the world. We have a new prayer card. So if you want to have something to throw darts at, just hit me. Leave the family alone. That's a joke. But there's prayer cards. Prayer is what drives our ministry. It's what opens doors. Paul said, please pray for an open door that the gospel would go forth. So we'd love for you to take this. This is free. And you can put that on your fridge. A gentleman said, we have your picture on our fridge. And I said, thank you so much. And then this is a little bit about Life of Messiah, where we've been, where we're going, and where we hope to go in the future, and a little bit about us and what we do. We minister in New Jersey. We were in Brooklyn. We are now back in Brooklyn. I'm commuting about once a month. Brooklyn has 600,000 Jewish people in the city. There's about 120,000 Jewish people in New Jersey where we live. The largest rabbinic yeshiva outside of Israel is in Lakewood, New Jersey. So it is like the other Holy Land. Brooklyn is the other Holy Land. New Jersey is the other Holy Land. And it's expanding. As we have been moving out of Brooklyn due to COVID, families are moving out of Brooklyn due to the politics. And, you know, Orthodox Jewish people are very conservative. They line up a lot with us in their political values and their love of God. So one instance, my wife was, I wish I could bring her up, was ministering at this community garden. And an Orthodox woman had set up this garden because she wanted to just make friends and bring the Jewish people together. Because even though they're under one umbrella, there's many different sects. And my wife introduces herself and she's like, you know, hey, I just moved here. And she said, I just moved here. She said, where did you move from? And the lady who started the garden said, I just moved from Brooklyn. She said, so did we. Where in Brooklyn? We were living in Midwood. That's where I lived. I just moved here. She says, yeah, not only me, but my entire synagogue of 30 people, the rabbi, his wife, and 30 families upped and moved. Can you imagine? So we thought we were leaving Brooklyn, but they're following us. I don't know why. But we are happy that they are moving with us. So praise the Lord for that. Pray for us as I'm in the community once a week, twice a week, ministering, going to the parks, going to the library, meeting folks. I have a gentleman, I'll leave him anonymous. He's a student at the yeshiva, and I've been meeting with him. I was able to tell him that I'm a follower of Jesus, waiting for him to say, we can't meet anymore, which he did, but I was able to like sales talk him into staying. And he had a lot of questions. You know, he said, we can't talk about this anymore. I said, that's fine. I want to learn about Orthodox Judaism. I'm Jewish, but didn't grow up religious. I want to know about what your community does, what you do when you wake up, how do you pray, the ins and outs of religious Orthodox Judaism. And he said, sure. He said, but I have one question. I said, what's that? He says, what made you believe in what you believe in? I said, I thought you just told me we can't talk about it. He says, I did, but let's talk. So praise the Lord for that, right? So be praying for that. Pray for this gentleman. We'll call him Yaakov. So pray for Yaakov. So if you have your Bible, I know you do, I'd love for you to open it up to Acts chapter 8. We're going to be in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to the end of the chapter. And the title of my message this morning is The Adventure of Evangelism. The Adventure of Evangelism. And evangelism is, I believe, a great adventure. It is a wonderful thing to partake of as we follow the Lord. Let's start off with a story for all of you this morning. I want you to imagine a tightrope stretched across the Niagara Falls. The thundering sound of pounding water drowning out all other sounds as you watch a man step onto the rope and walk across. This stunning feat made by Charles Blondin, it made him famous in the summer of 1859. He walked a miraculous 160 feet above the falls several times back and forth between Canada and the United States. Yesterday, we went to Polebridge. Did I say that right? And my wife said, look at the sign. It's only 22 miles from Canada. I said, great, let's go. Let's go to a Calgary Flames game. She's like, no, turn around and take me back. So he walked back and forth from Canada and the United States. Huge crowds looked on with shock and awe. You can imagine being there watching this guy on a tightrope. I'm sure we would have shock and awe as well. Once he crossed in a sack, this guy's nuts. Once he crossed on stilts, and another time on a bicycle. On July 15th, Blondin walked backwards across the tightrope to Canada and returned to the United States pushing a wheelbarrow. That's what I said. Blondin even pushed a wheelbarrow across while blindfolded. This guy needs therapy. The crowds oohed and awed as they watched this stunning feat. After Blondin finished, he asked the audience for some audience participation. He asked his audience, do you believe I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow? The crowd shouted, yes, we believe. It was then that Blondin posed the question, who will get into the wheelbarrow? So sharing the gospel with an unbeliever can be very scary, right? It can be a very scary thing. Following the Lord into the unknown can be a very scary thing. In a recent Gallup poll, 22% of people said fear keeps them from sharing their faith. When it came to talking to others about the gospel, fear was far and away the most significant deterrent. People communicated that they were afraid of losing valuable relationships and wanted to avoid the tensions that accompanied these kinds of discussions. Others felt entirely ill-equipped. They were scared that they will end up fielding questions or dealing with objections too uncomfortable to navigate. Fear is the common thread that weaves together many of the different responses to this very survey. Respondents often use words like fear, scared, or afraid to describe their feelings about why they hesitate to share their faith. In our text this morning, we see an ordinary man, Philip the Evangelist, a man like you and me, who did amazing things as he followed the Lord into the unknown. You guys ready? Acts 8, verse 26 through 40, here's our text. It says this, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes to Jerusalem, to Gaza.' So we started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked." Pretty ballsy or bold, right? We say that in New York. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. It's in Isaiah 53. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture, this very passage of Scripture, and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water." Don't make fun of my accent. It's spelled W-O-O-D-E-R. "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Aidos and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." What an amazing narrative story we have put before us by the Lord, forever etched in his word for us to be inspired by. This morning, we see three things from this passage of scripture. We see that Philip listened to the Lord, we see Philip was led by the Lord, and we see Philip was a light for the Lord. So three things. Philip was listening to the Lord, Philip was led by the Lord, and Philip was a light for the Lord. You guys are in good hands with Pastor David. He's a wonderful Bible teacher, and I'm sure he's told you this many times. In order to understand the scriptures, we need to read it in its context. Yes? Context is king. So here we are in verse 26 of this chapter, but we have a story before us, ahead of this story, and that starts in the beginning of chapter 8. We're going to look at the context. So our story really begins at the beginning of the chapter 8 of Acts. So what is going on? Well, if you read ahead, when you get home, I would love for you to read that to connect it. We don't have time to read the full passage. We need to look at the context. Our story begins at the beginning. God was using Philip in Samaria. He was using him in a mighty way. And God told him to go south. But before that, it says, "Philip went down to a city of Samaria and preached Messiah to them. And multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in this city." So God has Philip here. in Samaria, and he's ministering, he's sharing the gospel. People that were demon-possessed had demons coming out of them. People that were sick were healed. People that had broken bones, their bones were set. They were walking and leaping. People were in their right mind. Anxiety had left. They had shalom with God. God is doing wonderful things in Samaria. God is using Philip in a powerful way. And we see in verse 26, now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Listen to this. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I personally believe that God primarily speaks to us through his word, but he can speak to us in everyday language, right? I'll give you a quick example. We were in Vermont. I was delivering milk, and I woke up in a morning quite like this. It was the end of the summer. We were in September, and it was the first chilly morning of the season. That was actually planned.
Well executed.
Thank you. Where was I? So I had woke up in Vermont, yes, and I woke up, and I used to deliver milk, so it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and they say it's coldest before the dawn, darkest before the dawn, and I remember, oh, it's cold this morning. It's really, really chilly. And I was like, interesting. So that kind of like took that thought as I drove my milk truck throughout the hills of Vermont, and I'm like, fall is on its way. Interesting. No more summer. And I'm driving, we're driving. Forgive me if I've told you this story before. Humor me. And I'm driving up this hill, and picture in your mind's eye this hill that splits two fields. And as you go through, there's a tees, and there's this gorgeous stone wall. And behind the stone wall were about 10 different trees lining this stone wall, and large, huge trees, all green, hadn't yet changed, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden my eye finds this red leaf. Top of the leaf was red, the bottom of the leaf was still green. And immediately I was like, oh, I felt cold this morning, now I see this leaf, and all of a sudden in my spirit was change is coming. As summer was changing into fall, so change had happened in the leaf. God was giving me an earthly illustration to look at to tell me that change was coming. 9 months later, we were hired by Life Messiah, and 3 months after that, we were moving from Vermont to Chicago. I get to Chicago, I'm in class at Moody, listening to the professor as a 40-year-old, and the Lord said, I told you change was coming. It's here. So God speaks, yes? God speaks to us, uses his creation to minister to us. And here it says, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, he speaks to Philip, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes towards Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Okay? He was ministering. Tremendous things are happening in Philip's life by God. And he is going from a tremendous ministry to tumbleweeds, to dust and dirt. And as human beings, we probably can ask ourselves, what in the world was going through Philip's mind? He's probably thinking, why are you telling me to leave this wonderful place where you are using me and sending me to where there is tumbleweeds? I have not seen one person on this desert road. We drove up to Pole Bridge, and I was like, I sure hope we don't get stuck. I was borrowing someone's vehicle in your congregation that was kind enough to let us drive this vehicle, and it had studded tires. But I thought to myself, what if I get stuck, right? Is there anyone here, right? It's like a desert road in the middle of the mountains. Look, and my wife's like, we should pray. I'm like, yeah, let's pray. So the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. And he started out. We see Philip listened to the Lord, because it says, so he arose and went, right? Point one, he listened to the Lord and he was obedient. Not only do we see that Philip listened to the Lord, we see that he was led by the Lord. Biblical scholar Craig Keener points out that Luke devotes nearly as much space to the conversion of this one foreigner. We're going to see that he's ministering to this Ethiopian eunuch. He devotes as much space to the conversion of this one foreigner who can function as an indigenous witness in his own culture as to the revival in Samaria. So here, God is, this whole chapter, it's 40 verses. Half of the chapter is given to this wonderful work in Samaria. The other half, just as much, is given to one person's conversion. God is interested in the one. That speaks to us in our ministry. It is a ministry that is not low-hanging fruit. It's not a ministry by Greg Laurie who fills Angel Stadium and shares the gospel and hundreds and thousands of people come forward to receive Christ. We share Christ with people and we have water bottles thrown at us and we get baptized, they spit at us and they rip up our tracts. They have a lot of objections to Jesus as the Messiah. So here, Philip is ministering in Samaria and he is leaving Samaria and he is led by the Lord. So Luke, the author of Acts, wants to show how God directly led Philip to do something significant. Philip immediately obeyed this somewhat strange command, right? Leaving this tremendous ministry. And the God of surprises shocked him with the appearance of the Ethiopian. The angel says to Philip, go. Philip doesn't argue. Philip doesn't fuss. God didn't give him all the details, right? He just said, go. And I'd like to remind us that you cannot steer a parked car, can you? No. If God says go, you should go. And as you go, he reveals his path and plan as we step out in faith. This isn't the first time that God has asked his followers to do something which at first seemed absurd and doesn't make sense. Right? Philip is thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going on this desert road. I've left behind all this stuff. Who knows what FOMO means? Fear of missing out. I am the king of FOMO, fear of missing. I don't want to miss out, right? If God told me to leave Samaria, I'm like, no, this is so fun. All these people getting saved. I don't want to go down here, right? But he leaves anyway. It's not the first time that God has asked his followers to do something absurd. Exodus 14, we looked at the Passover last time I was here. God told Moses to put his staff into the sea, and God promised that he would divide the sea and that they would walk on dry land. 1 Kings 7, 3 through 5, he says to Elijah, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And listen, and so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Ravens, like, I'm Jewish, I'm kosher. Ravens, birds, are you sure this is okay? You want me to do what? But he went anyway. Also notice the angel said, go south to a desert road. As I mentioned earlier, Philip goes from the tremendous to tumbleweeds. He must be thinking, God, what are you doing? There's nothing here but dust and dirt. We see great humility and obedience in Philip's life. So we see that Philip listened to the Lord, and we see that Philip was led by the Lord. So we can listen and hear, but not obey. right? Story of my children, I tell them to do something. Are you listening? Yes. Okay, when my little Micah, wonderful story, in Brooklyn, we had wood floors, and it was a year that we were getting all these nor'easters that would come up the coast, and we would get walloped with blizzards. They forecast it 16 inches, then they changed it to 20 inches, then they changed it to 24 inches, then they changed it to 28 inches. They set a record, 28 inches of snow in the city. No place to put it, right? My son, he's like 9 years old, he's running out, diving in the snow, covered up to here. He walks in, hey, I want some hot chocolate. Oh, back up off the wood floor, dude. You're getting water all over the wood floor. Your mom's gonna be upset. I must have told him how many times? 12 times. When you come inside, stop on the towel, take off your boots, and then proceed. Do you understand? Yes. Are you listening? Yes. What did I tell you? He tells me. But it wasn't until the 13th time that he actually stopped and took off his boots. He listened, but he didn't obey. Okay? So we listen and then we obey. Philip listened. And he also obeyed. Isaiah 50 says this, the sovereign Lord has spoken to me and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. As he is following the Lord, he just so happens to stumble upon a chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch who was reading the prophet Isaiah. It was common in that day to read out loud. So Philip hears the reading of the scriptures and again is led by the Lord. The Spirit tells Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. So he leaves Samaria. He's on the desert road. He hears the prophet Isaiah being read and the Lord tells Philip, go and stand near the chariot. All right, so who was in this chariot? I'm glad you asked. Well, the text tells us he's an Ethiopian eunuch. Some background here on the Ethiopian. Let's get to know this fellow who's come to know the Lord. You're going to meet him in heaven. He has given his heart to the Lord. Luke does not mention the religious background of this Ethiopian. What we know for sure is that he was a high official, something like a finance minister in Ethiopia. He had come to Jerusalem to the temple to worship and had a copy of Isaiah with him, something not easy to obtain in those days. This suggests that he might have been a God-fearer or a proselyte to Judaism. Only the most well-to-do had chariots in those days, so it was like your Ferrari of the day. But the Ethiopian was reading the prophet Isaiah as he was sitting there. Considering the high standing of this official, it would have required some boldness for Philip to obey the Spirit's command to go to the chariot. Since people always read aloud, as I mentioned, Philip heard him reading one of his favorite messianic passages of the early church. Philip's question about whether the eunuch understood what he was reading got the response he needed to share the good news with him. He says to him, "How do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone explains it to me?" Verse 35, it says this, "And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." So in way of reminder, what is the good news? What is the gospel? What was the message? Well, we read in Acts chapter 2, Peter says this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Romans 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And Ephesians 2, I love this. Let this minister to your soul. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, our shalom. We have peace with God through Jesus, our Messiah. That is the gospel. We were once separated from this holy God, but he has brought us near through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So we see in this passage, Philip listened to the Lord, Philip was led by the Lord, and finally we see this evangelism take place. Philip was a light for the Lord. The British scholar and evangelist Michael Green believes that Luke's primary reason for including the story of Philip and the Ethiopian was to teach the value of personal, one-on-one evangelism and to give guidelines on how it should be done. This story shows how important personal evangelism is, insofar as a key preacher in the church is taken on a long journey in order to share the gospel with just one person. And note, the episode is given the same amount of space as the record of the conversion of large numbers of Samaritans. This passage here, this scene here in Scripture, is every evangelist's dream. The Ethiopian eunuch is asking Philip, explain this passage to me. So this passage, where do we find this passage? This passage is in Isaiah 53. It says this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. So Isaiah the prophet is asking this question. He's asking the question about the identity of the servant. Actually, the Ethiopian is asking, who is this speaking of? And it becomes a launching pad for Philip's telling him the good news about Jesus. When you boil it down, the gospel is simple. You guys know it. John 3:16, Isaiah 53. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures, and then has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Trusting God into the unknown can be very scary. Remember, as you do personal evangelism, God is with you. You never have to do it alone. God promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. As I was delivering milk one year, it was my first week and I was in training and they wanted to really give it to me. I think they wanted to find out if I would stick it out. So I arrived at 2:30, not 3:30, my first day. And you know what it's like to be incredibly tired and groggy. I'm like, I couldn't even know what was right, what was wrong, what was up, what was down. His name was Chip. Chip's like, climb in the truck, boy. I'm like, boy, I'm older than you, bro. Climb in the truck and we head out and we were doing, it's the last state to did home delivery. It was WIC, women, infant, and children. We did home delivery of eggs, dairy, the whole nine yards. And we pull up and it's just like this, you know, pull up on the side of the road there and walk across the lawn. He says, take this crate of stuff and head out. I'm like, all right, I can head out. And I stepped out of the truck and I'm like, dude, I can't see a thing. He's like, oh, you probably should have a flashlight. He gives me the flashlight, I turn the flashlight on, and everything changed, right? Everything changed. I could see where I was going. I could see where I stepped. In evangelism, God gives us the light. He gives us the blueprint on how to do it, what to do, what not to do. God's word is our light as we travel this earth. So God speaks and he directs. God wants us to listen to the Lord. God wants us to be led of the Lord. And God wants us to be a light for the Lord. So our calling as people of God is to be messengers of the gospel. One scholar says this: much of the evangelism in the early church was done by lay people who shared their faith wherever they went. This is implied in Acts 8, where Luke says that all except the apostles were scattered, and those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. The public preacher stayed at home while the lay people went out and witnessed for the Lord. We often hear it said that a key to personal witness is spirit-led boldness. Some claim that they do not have this boldness and therefore cannot witness. In reality, much of Christian witness inspired by spirit-led boldness begins, Flathead Calvary, with a decision to be obedient to the call to witness. If we take the first step of obedience, the Spirit will guide us and equip us with boldness. We often miss out on the opportunities to witness simply because we do not take the first step to turn a conversation into a witnessing situation. Obedience to the Great Commission and to the prompting of the Spirit is the key that unlocks the release of the Spirit into our lives and transforms us into being witnesses with Spirit-led boldness. Practical evangelism. There's a book that I love. It's called Questioning Evangelism. When I first read it, I didn't read like the description. I'm like, are you questioning whether we should evangelize? No. Questioning evangelism. Jesus asked lots of questions. Ask questions of the people that you are ministering to. So, do you believe in God? People love to talk about themselves. Ask them about themselves. Do you believe in God? And you will find out what they believe. And from that moment, you can then launch into the gospel. So there's a book called Questioning Evangelism. It examines Jesus' method of sharing the gospel. Our Messiah many times asked questions as he shared the good news. Philip asks him a question. Do you know what you are reading? Engage people where they are. Philip gives us this principle. Philip engaged the Ethiopian where he was. He was reading the prophet Isaiah, and Philip engages. Engage. I don't like to read the news. Read. I don't like to listen to the news, but I want to stay up with current events so I can engage with people about what's going on and then hopefully turn the conversation to spiritual things. Be supernaturally natural, right? Be supernaturally natural. Don't be weird. Look for natural segues in your conversation with people to turn the conversation towards the gospel, right? Do those things. Isaiah 53 is a beautiful prophecy of the Messiah. Isaiah 53, Jesus, this is the context of what he's reading. So the broader context of Isaiah 53, Jesus is rejected by Israel. Isaiah 53, 4 through 12, he bears the sins of Israel, although he himself is not guilty. He suffers voluntarily, verse 12. The eunuch asked Peter who this is speaking of, himself or someone else. The official's confusion is understandable, but Philip's exposition is correct. Verse 34 is like a slow pitch softball, right? Just, I went shooting the other day and I hit 10 out of 10. And my instructor was like, that's pretty good. You got a good shot. I'm like, but I'm only 10 feet away, right? He's like, I've seen people miss. So, the Lord leads, we listen, and we get to be a light. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful story set before us of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Lord, thank you that you're always speaking to us. And if we listen, we will be led, and you will allow us to be a light. Thank you for the opportunity and the gracious privilege it is to partner with you, that you who sit high enthroned in heaven would take the message of eternal life and place it in us, in jars of clay, and allow us to witness in word and in deed the great love of your Son, Jesus, the Messiah. Lord, I pray that you'd sweep away fear, you'd sweep away confusion, and Lord, I pray that you would inspire us and encourage us to be the men and women that carry the gospel message. Thank you, God, for this word. Thank you for the encouragement that we find in Philip the evangelist. Would you lead us in the same way? In Jesus' name, amen.